When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before we get to the topic at hand, that I wanna study what I think is an interesting and cool topic, I wanna do a few welcomes. I first wanted to welcome Yankov is back from Eretz Yisrael for his brother's last night. I wanna tell the chevra that Yaakov Manila, I wanna say like this. That he's a kind person to everybody. Anybody who learns here in Imre knows it. And that's beautiful. But what we speak a lot about in yeshiva is that the ikar kindness is the family. The ikar unleashing of the kindness in us is find it in you to your brother. Find it in you to your sister. Find it in you to your mother, to your father, to your grandmother, family. Unleash that kindness to your family. It's tricky, it's close to home, it brings up a lot of emotions, a relative. Find the love, find it's my brother, that's my brother. Goymel Nafsha Yishchasid, we don't ever tire of quoting the Pasuk in Mishlei, that Goymel Nafsha Yishchasid, Rashi says Nafsha is Mishpachtei. Goymel Nafsha, which means your family, Goymel, doing kindness to your family, Yishchasid is the man of kindness. The main kindness is home. Charity starts at home. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. And I want to say about Yaakov Manila and his brother just got married. The chasn was last Tuesday. I saw in anybody who went to Imre the kindness to a brother, the care and kindness and love that he expressed. I witnessed to a brother that's a man of kindness. That's true kindness. It's cool kindness. That's like the deepest kindness. In the yeshiva, I have a tremendous love of brothers being together in the yeshiva. It was so nice yesterday. I just liked them sitting near each other. You had Chaim and Shloima. We got one last singing of Chaim before Chaim goes back to Eretz Yisrael. And then Akiva was sitting next to Yitzchak Shalom, those two brothers. I like brothers singing together. I like brothers being together. I was Zeicher the Shabbos to be with Meir and Ilan. I love brothers being together. I've watched for years the closeness of Shmuel and Davi. I get to see, I tell my wife, I bring home the picture of my two sons learning Second Seder, of Hudi and Manning studying Torah, two brothers studying. There's like the joy, the delight of two brothers studying together with respect, enjoying each other, arguing, and Torah is Ein L'Shire. So I want to say on Yaakov Manila, the kindness that it goes to a brother, beautiful, beautiful kindness. Our silly papers, the papers broadcast things that are weird. There's a story, news reporters say, dog bite man, no story. Man bite dog, story. They want the bizarre. So what they consider normal, they'll publicize chesed in the papers is the guy who runs an organ. The real chesed in the world is a man's good to his wife. That's the chesed of the world. That's the real. Everything else is cute. Everything else is a preparation. Karav kaidim, the chesed. I watched Avi Bertram bring his brother here for Shabbos and really care for his brother. That's the deepest. I want to say that certainly we're supposed to have an outpouring of chesed. The way you build the chesed machine is be loving to people closest and let it spill over. Let the cup runneth over. Let it spill. Be good to the people close and it extends. It extends. The deepest kindness is to those closest to us. And I see with Yaakov, the kindness to his brother, it's amazing. It was a tremendous lesson. How toiv, how good and sweet is brothers together, the kindness to family. The kindness, I just appreciate it a lot. The chassan should have tremendous mazel and brach, and you should continue to steigro Yaakov. I'm proud of you, Yaakov. We have when guys, we're in a matzah, we're choosing yeshivas. the amount of guys that have gone to Imre and had a better experience. In Eretz Yisrael, yearly, I give a reward. I give an award, and I didn't do it this year. And if I would have done it, I told Rabbi Brownstein, this is not what I'm saying here, I told Rabbi Brownstein, if I would have given the award this year, maybe I'll do it on when the alumni come here. But I always give an award. Guys go to Eretz Yisrael, it's very hard to be away from home. And there's always a couple of heroes who like make everybody comfortable. And maybe the guy in Eretz Yisrael this year who did it the most to guys. Guys got to a new yeshiva, a new place, who mamish helped guys get comfortable, was Yaakov Manila. And I thank you. Thank you a lot. Yeah. Many, many a guy has stepped into Imre and felt comfortable in Imre because Yaakov helped the guy be comfortable. Because Yaakov made him comfortable and put effort. To me, it's like Dvarim Pshutim. You're in a yeshiva. You're in a yeshiva and guys come. I'm always amazed, Elul, if anybody just sits and learns, goes to school, wants to be stark. Chevra comes, help them be comfortable. Help a guy. Make a guy comfortable, show him around. It's like, push it. It's like basic behavior, basic human behavior. Make another person. You're comfortable, help the next guy be comfortable. Go make him comfortable. I love watching in yeshiva, as the year goes on, guys are growing and they start noticing other people more. I'm watching guys now, like, just reaching out more, encouraging, pulling in the next guy. You're comfortable, get the next person comfortable. So it's tremendously appreciated. What you've done for dozens and dozens of guys to make them more successful in Imre. It's tempting. Guys should go to Imre. Baruch Hashem, guys will go to Imre. That we have, there's a brotherhood of older guys to help a guy get comfortable and adjust and get involved. You're a big reason that a whole group of guys, I hope that ruach, that ideal stays. I could tell you, Yaakov, that friends of myself and my friends in the yeshiva I went to felt strongly to like bring that ruach. You'll be able to see it decades later. You bring such a type of culture, there's something called a culture. If you put a culture in, it stays for years. What's the Hebrew word for culture? I'm forgetting it right now, the Hebrew word. Not Avir and Siri, there's a word that like Achronim use, like a modern word. Rabbi Yerucham, I saw it in Revolba. There's like a festive word for culture that I'm forgetting, right? Avira's atmosphere, Sviva's environment. So those are words. There's like a, maybe it's, I don't know if it's a Lashon Kodesh word for culture. I'm forgetting it right now.
Tarbus,
interesting. Tarbus is like, yeah, there's such a thing called Tarbus. They looked at Tarbus. Do you remember the word, Manny? There's a word, culture. I'm not remembering the word, a Hebrew word. I'm not remembering. I don't remember if it's Lashon Kodesh or Mahadur. I assume it's Lashon Kodesh coming from Revolba, but I'm not remembering it right now. But there's a culture of a place is a real thing. And people who put in a culture, of warmth that older guys actually help younger guys get comfortable and acclimate. To me, that's a tremendous culture to put in. I think you've built that, and others have come before you. Naftali Friedler, Rabbi Friedler, who did the same for guys, and you're continuing an illustrious chain of guys who made sure that a guy comes is like comfortable and settles. Appreciate it a lot. So that's the welcome and the thank you to Yaakov Manila. I can't think of the word for culture. I'm forgetting the word. There's a good word. Okay. I want to welcome as well, I want to welcome the Chassan Aryeh Barnett. I don't... There's much to say, and I've spoken about Aryeh the hundreds of times that he sang for the Chevra, hundreds and hundreds. We're making a Sheva Brachs in Yeshiva for Aryeh.
Nice!
I spoke...
Cool!
I spoke to Rai Brownstein, we spoke about it, I said we owe him, the yeshiva owes. It's not, nobody ever take it for granted, ever. Somebody sings in such a delightful way, in a kind way. I tremendously appreciate all the times that you've sang and lifted us up. The music in yeshiva is powerful. It lifts us up. It brings us places. It's honest. It just brings us places. It's beautiful. It's encouraging. And each time, Yehuda, you as well, all the guys who have sung and shared a talent with us, it's easy. People hoard their talents. And just And sometimes you could even protect it so it sells better. You hold on to your talent. I like sincerity. I'll tell you something interesting, and this is the lesson from Aryeh. I'm doing a lot of interviews for the yeshiva. I promise, for the yeshiva's sake, Hudi and I were joking about this, to make it hard to get into is the best thing for the yeshiva. It's very, very good. So I'm going to get back to you in 2 weeks. Then they have to call their rav, get us in, and then turn down a few. It's like such a good thing for a yeshiva. I'm such a stupid runner of a yeshiva. It's like ridiculous to value the yeshiva and make it hard to get into. A guy comes on an interview, you should play hard to get. There are therapists that if you ever ask for an appointment, they're smart. If they say, sure, no problem. So then you're easy to get into. What type of therapist are you? Eh? So what they'll do is, very smartly, they'll say, right now I'm booked. Call me, I'll see if an appointment opens up. I've had this many times. What they're doing is, I'm hard to get into. And then always, somehow, a spot opens up. They're like, oh, I don't want to, I'm saying this on a tape. Now they're going to make sure the spot doesn't open up. And you'll see, I'm really hard. And I appreciate that, to sell your business, if you're so easy, sure, no problem, tomorrow at 3. By the way, this afternoon I have extra slots, like, so then you're too easy. So there's like playing hard to get. And I appreciate that people need parnasa. And I appreciate that there are techniques that people need in order to be more wanted and seem more. But I love sincerity and authenticity. Maybe you just want to help somebody and you say, yeah, I'm going to make time. I'm going to figure it out. Your business, maybe that alone, people will see sincerity and realness, and that will help business. And I've decided with the yeshiva, and I learned from people like Ari, I promise, for voices, they'd be better off, and I promise it's not lost on them. They could tell me. They say, no, don't ask me to sing. You know, it should be like on a special treat. You play a little hard to get. You cheapen the thing. I remember there was a restaurant that their leftover food, they would only send out of the state. They would send it out of the city, not in Waterbury. There was a restaurant growing up. They'd send the leftover out of the city, and they didn't send it to the local institutions because it would cheapen their food. If you can get it for free every Sunday, the leftovers, so what's their food worth? So they had to like send it out of state. There you can get it. And I understand that. I understand that there's techniques to make it what we have is valuable. So the singers could make it. You sing on demand. I have the chutzpah. I've called over Aryeh dozens of times with one interview. A bacher tells me, I see that he feels very good from Aryeh's music. Dozens of times, he has come over and sang for one kid. You're crazy to show off the top musician. You call over a guy, you mind saying, he's like, sure, takes a guitar. There's nothing fancy there. And he's devaluing to get Aryeh Barnett. You know, come for a few months. Wow, welcome home, Mendel. Come. I didn't see a vehement denial, but okay. The kitzer is that many dozens of times, and it's not lost on Aryeh. He could tell me, Rebbe, you're devaluing my singing. You're devaluing, and it is devaluing to get a guy. They're big singers. Imagine you call over a big singer. Yeah, my friend, do you mind quickly playing a song? He's like, excuse me, I'll play this. You know, get me a nice audience. You ask a Welt speaker, and you ask the person to speak in front of four people. The value in the big speakers. You don't just like, yes, me and my three friends, one of you'll share a speech. He has a product he's selling. You don't make it cheap and easy. And it's not lost. And they like singing, and they want to be hired for things. And we don't want to devalue it. But I think there's something deeper about sincerity. That, you know how many guys felt good that he comes over for one person? Hey, so you like the music? And let me sing you a nice song. Dozens of guys have felt good. And I think there's something that could be more than artificial ways of causing value. Is actually being nice and sharing. And you know what? It makes somebody feel good. And I think the value could be up from that also. People are capable of valuing that which is authentic and real. And the value, Aryeh's music has impacted, I think, far-reaching, because he sung many times for one guy, many, dozens and dozens of times. He sang for one, I'm not trying to pressure, he's getting married, I'm not like, and I respect if any time my throat hurts, please don't sing, and please teach me different. I need somebody who tell me I don't want to do it. I'm ready to hear that. But the etzem vart, that he has a good voice, and I, please, could I share it with you? I tremendously appreciate it. Are you all the dozens, you've sang for a small Musarvad, you've sang, I want everybody to know we're sitting here, at least in Musar, okay, so it's 30 people, maybe it's even tapes, so it could be some more people, fine. He has sung many, many times for one guy, many, for one guy, sure. But like with such a nice attitude, and brought it, not in a way. Brought it. One guy. So a guy heard. I think there's something so pure and precious about that. I've learned from Aryeh, from Shlomo, from Yehuda. I've learned from them. And with the yeshiva, when a guy comes for an interview, I have many things that can make the yeshiva more valuable. Maybe we could just be sincere and we like the kid. And the guy's a nice guy and you want him. You don't have to play any game to artificially up the value of the yeshiva. Refuse this guy, make him wait. No. Maybe we just could like people and welcome the guy in. And then if that's valuable to... I think people are capable of valuing that which is authentic. Then people just like the yeshiva, the place that's not hard to get, doesn't play hard to get. The place that on your interview, you're not told call back in a week. You're accepted on the spot. If the yeshiva's into you, then you're accepted because the chevra likes you. The guys take a guy comes, but 30 minutes in, the guy's like, he found his bed already. He tells you what chair. Here the guy comes. He tells me, yes, I'm going to ride with Snicky and I have my dorm ready. Okay. He has it. Who's to tell him no? So we just learned about sincerity. I want to thank the Chassan and really, really appreciate how you've shared your talents with us. Thank you, Aryeh. I think it's a lesson. I think it's a lesson. And you know what the end game is? His voice is very valued. I think it's a lesson that things can come from a path of honesty, good things, and even the value of something can come through a path of honesty without a contrived way, from a place of sincerity, an organic way. And look, the amount of people that have been impacted by the songs, by the music, and so not artificially and inorganically, like inflated, just from a sincerity, sure. I've seen it so many times. People ask, people come, the amount of different times people want to share a song. I just, please, let me hear. Oh, he enjoys, like, maskemavi to this. You've seen this? Yeah. I've seen it also. Maskem Yisroel? This, the honest way and sincere way of selling, of being, and not like in an unnatural way trying to prop up the value, whether it's a voice, whether it's of services, whether it's of yeshiva. I like the natural, organic way.
I don't think people are usually like doing
that on purpose, though. Correct. I love people. People are good. I'm describing, so there's no them in the world, Yehuda. I'm only talking to us. There is only us. There's no them in the world. So I don't say they do and we. I say in all of us is the struggle of not organically, like, promoting something, and we could be honest and sincere and promote. So nobody, it's all us, Yehuda, only us. There's no them. Okay, now we welcome Yankov. I want to share the following Torah with the Chevra. But you ready to learn Torah? Let's learn something. In Parshas Kisisa, this week's Parsha, so in Parshas Kisisa is continuing like we did the last two Parshas. In Truma and Tetzaveh, we spoke about the Mishkan, and we're continuing with the Mishkan. In the middle of discussing about the Mishkan, in the beginning of the parasha continues with the Mishkan, you'll just notice yourself the aliyahs are very, very interesting. You'll notice if you're a Levi, you get a very long aliyah.
Yeah.
The Kayan gets a long aliyah.
Yeah.
Kayanim and Levim, it's your time to party, me and Yair. Yair, you're getting a big time aliyah. The Kayan gets a long aliyah. Yaakov, you're also Kayan, right? Oh, okay. Klal Yisrael Kayanim, I'm Leches Kayanim. You're Yisrael? Okay. But who are Kayanim here? Kayanim? Hands, Kayanim. Kayanim here? We have Yair and Aaron. Aaron, TK. Levium, hands. Levium, Levium.
What?
So the Kayan, Shmuel, you raised the hand? Ephraim's a Levi. Avi's a Levi, a cousin. So Levium and Kayanim, you Levi? Let's go. The Levium and Kayanim, you'll notice that the Aliyas, the Levi and Kain is very, very long. The simple logic is the Egil's in this week's Parsha, and we don't want a Yisrael getting the Parsha of the Egil. That's the simple logic. It wouldn't be nice to the Yisrael. Simply wouldn't be nice to the Yisrael to get the Egil. Kayhanim and Leviim weren't part of the Egil. So our sensitivity, the Levi gets the whole Egil. It's not, it, you might say it's a Nakishmak, you get called up for a difficult aliyah, but the reason the Levi gets the Egel is we don't want to make it sense of a Yisrael. So we call up the one who has no guilt in the Egel, Kayhanim and Leviim, we weren't part of it. So the Kayhanim and Leviim get a huge amount of the parasha afterwards.
Are there any left after the Levi?
There's very little. It's divided up, very short aliyah, Shlishi Revi. This way Yisrael is amazing midas. We're such a gentle and sensitive people, it shouldn't even be mentioned. The chet of the mishpacha shouldn't be mentioned. So that guy gets called up. There's no mention. We're very, very sensitive people. In middle of talking about the Mishkan, in middle of the Kayin's Aliyah, the Pasuk says, Vayim Hashem al Moshe Lamer. Hashem says to Moshe, Va'ata dabri al b'nei Yisrael Lamer, tell Klal Yisrael, Ach es shabshoisai tishmairu. Ach, only, please. Ach, please es shabshoisai tishmairu. Please keep Shabbos. He's in middle of talking about the Mishkan, and it stops in middle of the Mishkan, and it says, tell Klal Yisrael, Ach es shabshoisai tishmairu. Now, why? Ki oisi, it's a sign, beini uveinechem, between me and you, for your generations to know I am Hashem, your Mekadosh. Now, the first thing I want to tell the Chevra is it's the middle of talking about the Mishkan, and it pauses, says, keep Shabbos. Now, we're going to see two chazal that on Shabbos you don't build a Mishkan. If you're a very literal guy, see here like this literal thing, like it's a construction law. On Shabbos, stop the construction of the Mishkan. For anybody, first of all, whenever building another Mishkan, the third temple is probably coming min Hashemayim. So what's the difference? The Torah is always relevant lenetzach for all eternity. To tell us not to build a Mishkan on Shabbos is no more Mishkan. So you say it means the Beis Hamikdash. Beis Hamikdash, Rashi and Sukkah says is coming min Hashemayim. So then we're not constructing it at all. So why do you tell me don't build it on Shabbos? We ain't building it. So what's going on? So just stop to understand what Mishkan is. Any thinking person where it says don't build it on Shabbos means on Shabbos ki'ilu, you don't need Mishkan or you have Mishkan. You're not constructing Mishkan, you have Shabbos. And anybody who understands what Shabbos and Mishkan are the same possibility. One can experience Hashem there. The Mishkan, we've said many times to the Chevra, what does it mean, Beis HaMikdash? Hashem's everywhere. I mean, he lives there, he lives everywhere. It means that it's easier to experience Hashem. That's the same thing what Shabbos is. What the Beis HaMikdash is in place, Shabbos is in time. It's easier to experience Hashem in the world called Shabbos. One can easier plug in. It's something a person can plug in and can attach themselves to Hashem in the space called Shabbos. So it says, you're building the Mishkan, when Shabbos comes, as Shabbos says, the Shmairu, keep Shabbos, you can access Hashem there. Now, the question I have is like this. Rashi, there are two Rashis, and it's amazingly confusing. Rashi's first question is, we're in the middle of talking about Mishkan, Why does it say keep Shabbos? So I'll read the Rashi. Va'ata af al pi. Rashi is bothered by juxtaposition. Why in the middle of the Mishkan did God jump in and say, please keep Shabbos? So Hashem put it here, just the location. Why is it spoken in the middle of building the Mishkan without keeping Shabbos? Said Rashi, even though I commanded them to build the Mishkan, al yekal be'enecha, don't be cheap in your eyes, lidchay se Shabbos apnei oisim alacha. Be careful, don't be mechalel Shabbos. So the reason it said, in the middle of building the Mishkan, keep Shabbos, is to tell you, I know you're building the Mishkan, but don't, not on Shabbos. Al yekal be'enecha, to push you off Shabbos because of that work, don't construct on Shabbos. So Rashi's first pshat is, since in middle of construction of the Mishkan it said keep Shabbos, God was saying, I know you're building a Mishkan, don't be mechalel Shabbos. But then there's a second Rashi. The word ach is always, in all the Torah, ach v'rak are called a meyut. That's a Gemara in Makkos. Ach and rak are always miyutim. Whenever it says ach, it's being memayit something. However, ach only, it's coming to exclude something. Whenever it says ach and rak only, it's excluding something. Says Rashi, it doesn't just say speak to Klal Yisrael and keep Shabbos. It says ach only as Shabbosai say Tishmari. What's that ach Yisrael? What's the miyut? Says Rashi, ach. Even though you're so busy, you're pressured, and you're overwhelmed with the task, Shabbos al tidcha mipneh. Don't break Shabbos. And he brings every ach and rak, are a miyut, he brings some Yerushalmi and brachas. So the miyut is lemayit Shabbos mimalachas hamishkan. It said ach. Great to see you, Shmuel. It said ach. So Shmuel, there are two drashas in the beginning of Parshas Kisisa. Rashi brings, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Leibor, it's the middle of talking about construction of the Mishkan, and Hashem says, keep Shabbos. So Rashi says, I know you're building, don't desecrate Shabbos. No building on Shabbos. One Rashi. The next Rashi, Ach is Shabbosai Sai Tishmayru, only Ach is a Meot. Says Rashi, the miyut is, even though you're crazy building the Mishkan, don't be mechal Shabbos. Two Rashis back to back. Ask anybody who ever learned Chumash Rashi. I don't know a person who's serious about Chumash Rashi who didn't ask that, why do I have two drushas teaching me the same thing? It's redundant. I've absolutely learned the same thing twice in a row. Both Rashis have taught the same thing. We're in the middle of construction of the Mishkan. And then the Pasuk says, tell Klal Yisrael to keep Shabbos. Says Rashi, what's it doing here? We're talking about the Mishkan. I say keep Shabbos. Says Rashi, even though I commanded you to build a Mishkan, don't build it on Shabbos. Okay, geschmack. That's why it says Shabbos in the middle of construction. Don't build it. Then Rashi, the next Rashi, says, ach, but keep Shabbos. What's the ach? Ach is a miyut. Says Rashi, even though you're busy building the Mishkan, don't be doicha Shabbos. L'mayit Shabbos b'malachas ha-Mishkan. To exclude Shabbos from the malachas of the Mishkan, from construction of the Mishkan.
Hey, you just said the same thing twice.
You said the same drasha twice from two different places. What's happening? Yeah, it's a pella. Rashi, we just learned the same drasha twice. Yisrael, you hear the kasha? There are two drushes teaching you the exact same thing, Shmuel. Both in middle of the Malachas HaMishkan, speaking out, keep Shabbos. So why are you talking about this now? You're talking about construction. Says Rashi, even though you're building a Mishkan, don't be desecrate Shabbos. Frack the next Rashi, ach, what's the ach, keep Shabbos, ach is Shabbos, say Tishmeru. Says Rashi, ach is a miyut, and it said, ach, keep Shabbos means even though you malachas ha-mishkan, don't be doicha Shabbos. We have two drushes telling you the same thing, Hoods. Good, Kasha? You know the Teretz Hoods? The bomb Kasha, Chevra. What? So I'd like to share a pshat. If anybody has time, I should divide you into chavrusas, make the guys see these two rashes. You have to see these two rashes. If it wouldn't be so late and I've held you so long, I would probably do that, but it's late and I have held long. So I would like to share the following pshat, Yisrael. What are these two rashes telling you the same thing? So I'd like to say that the first rashi is telling you a din. It's a halacha. Even though you're building a mishkan, the halacha is you don't build it on Shabbos. It's a din. The second rashi is not telling you a law. It's not saying a halacha that you built a mishkan, don't be doich. It's not the law. The second halacha is saying that you're so busy building the mishkan, you're at danger to be mechallel Shabbos. It's nothing to do with the law. If you look at the second Rashi clearly, Hudi, he says, even though you're redufin and zrizim, you're so pressured. We're going to talk about pressure.
Delicious.
The second Rashi is not saying a halacha not to be mechal Shabbos. It's saying a zrizus. Be careful. Ach, be careful. It's not saying the law that you don't build a mishkan on Shabbos. That was the first Rashi. The second one is saying you're so busy with the good tzach, you're very at danger of being over something else. In the world, the most crimes have been done in the names of religion, and I want to explain it. Whenever you're on fire and go on fire, make sure you don't run over other things. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter spoke about a guy running to kiss the Torah, and he said, make sure you don't run over another yid. Rabbi Yisrael was saying something so deep. If you're passionate, you could get at danger. How many Balei Tshuva were overly tough on their kids? Now, they were idealists. They were idealists. The Balei Tshuva, oh my gosh, they're fired up. And they want a Torah Dika Mishpacha. Sometimes you have a whole bunch of kids playing in the hallway. Somebody even more excited about Yiddishkeit is overly aggressive on their child. Get down, sit here. In a way, he's just so excited about Yiddishkeit.
Ach.
But Ach says when you're fired up about something, tizaher, make sure that you're accounting for other things as well.
Love it.
And there's the biggest danger when you're on fire, and be on fire. But make sure you're not in your want for one thing. You could, Rabbi Yisrael pointed this out. Said a guy wants to kiss the Sefer Torah, he's on fire. Make sure not to run over a yid on the way. How many times on the way, because you're excited about something, because you're on fire, that you have a tendency to run over and forget other things? That's the second Rashi. It's not saying the halacha that you don't build the mishkan on Shabbos. It's saying a zehirus, be very careful. Picture the guy who's on fire building the mishkan. It's so easy for him to be mechallel Shabbos because he's on fire. He's building the mishkan, for heaven's sake. The guy is so fired up. He's building a mishkan. He's a man possessed. He's building the mishkan. So he's working his head off Erev Shabbos, and it gets close to Shabbos, and it could be Michal Shabbos. And that's the second Rashi. Ach, I know you're busy, you're redufin, and you're zrizim. Ach, Hashab, could you please be careful? It's not saying the halacha, it's saying the zihiris, the care that you need. And this is a message in building the mishkan, and it's a message in all our idealism. The more fired up you are about something is excellent. But just be careful that you have some, and we've all seen in our lives people fired up with something, with this so stark about it. I say over the story that I experienced it, but I've seen this in numerous cases. I was in the mirror, and people came to the mirror and asked Bachram to protect Rav Eliashiv, that people should protect the Gadol HaDor. What happened? People spent their lives trying to make sure that kvarim, that graves weren't desecrated. A noble thing to do. They spent their lives making sure people don't desecrate graves. It's very noble. Kavod HaMeis. Rev Zon's father is one of the biggest in the world about Kavod HaMeis, the care for dead bodies. Rev Zon's father, Shlita, beautiful yid who has made it a life's mission to care about the honor of the mace. I'm always moved by that because he's right. Even a yid who's passed away, be careful with the mace. I have a tremendous appreciation that Raizon Shlita, his father spent his lifetime and is one of the great promoters of Kavod HaMeis in the world and travels the whole world, making sure people know the halachas and are careful. He has stopped many cremations, many, many, dozens and dozens, and he's helped hundreds of people, thousands of people, come to a kfura with dignity. If you ever hear the halachas of the way we take care of a mace with such care. I was part, when we moved to Waterbury, there was a Chevra Kadesha, the Yid who runs it, Reb Schlingenbaum. The way, he's a nice person, the way he was serious about the laws. He had to do it exact. He was tough. We were like, we were like nervous, not to, you didn't cross, Reb, you did it right, because Kavod HaMeis. And Raizon's father was somebody who for years has taught the world about the respect due to every Yid. I find it so cool that his son is at the forefront of revolution of Kavod of the Yid. A Bachar comes here and is respected. Raizon brings a dignity to every person. It makes so much sense. Rabbi Zon coming, if you have to be mechabed the body of a Yid, when it's already, it's a body, you have to be mechabed, shtel zuchfar, when a Yid has the neshama there, the cover that's owed to every single Yid. So there were people who stood up for Kavod HaMeis, and they're impressive people. They were so careful not to mess with any type of kever, and that's a beautiful thing. Then what happened? What happened? Rabbi Yashiv gave some psak they didn't like. He let the government build something in a way that they felt wasn't Kavod HaMeis. Now they should have said Kavod HaMeis, imagine Kavod of the Gadol Hador. But they were so into their one area, they attacked Rabbi Yashiv physically. They ran to the mirror, could we have Bachram to protect them? Hooligans are trying to, people are trying. I know people who went. And people ran and surrounded his house to protect the Gadol Hador. They ran, it was late at night. People ran to protect Rabbi Yashiv. But what I want to say is what happened. They were so fired up, Yosef, on one thing, they forgot the Shlemus. It could happen to us all. They were so hyper-focused on one halacha, and they should be on fire. It's such a cool mission. It's so cool to be on fire. This was their thing, Yisrael. And it doesn't knock that. They're right. They're right. But there's this ach, they forgot the ach, that when you're on fire, make sure that things are balanced and thought out. It's great. This is your thing. We've all had areas in our life. This is my thing. I'm very impressed. We should collect stories of people. This is my thing, and they're able to hold back. We could all have things. This is my mission. This is my mission. This riles me up. I love the story of Yaakov Avinu sees the shepherds, and he's patient with them. He says, Achai, where are you from? Honesty was his thing, and they weren't being honest. But he was soft. He was slow. He was careful. There's the sense of balance. So it could be your thing. You always kiss the Torah. That's Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was literally saying. You're the guy. You kiss the Torah. It's your thing. You know. You always know that guy. You know. People look. There's an Indian to like see the Isis. That's the coolest thing.
Comes upon you. Out of my way.
You just like
let
this.
Let me get the Argonne out of my way.
Ach, it's good it's your thing and be on fire. And it's so cool that that's your thing. And it's just amazing. But specifically when you're on fire is the most zahiras to make sure that there's a certain type of expansive thinking that you're balancing and measuring and weighing a healthy mishkal, a healthy weight. There are many examples of it. This is like your baby. This is the thing like you'll have in your own life things you're careful on. And your kid will have some issue with that. There are men who, my thing is I don't talk in shul. And then his kid talks in shul, but that's your thing. You're like the not talker in shul. Yeah, okay. But it doesn't mean you run over that dude. It doesn't mean you beat him up. It doesn't mean you're publicly embarrassed. It's your, and because it's my thing, what do you want from me? That's when you most have to be careful. And it's so good you're on fire. But the whole Torah doesn't melt because you're on fire. That's the ach. The ach is your redufin and zrizin b'melechas hamishkan. I know you're on fire with this. Be careful not to michal Shabbos. Rabbi Yerucham speaks to Rebbeim not to speak lashon hara. You're on fire. Picture you're talking to the other Rebbeim about this bachur and that, and you're so caring. You're on fire. Your life is chenuch of the bachurim. Doesn't give you a head to say lashon hara again. And by the way, you're the guy who has to be most careful.
Wow.
You're so on fire and you're so excited. But you have to keep in mind the whole Torah. There's a din of lashon hara. Why did you just rip the guy? Why did you? What was your heter? What was it? Was it so? Guys here are so sincere. I've gone up to a bachar. You discuss another bachar. Maybe it's even l'tayelis. Guy said, Rebbe, is it, why you tell me wrong? You can't say that on the guy. So, well, tayelis. Oh, you be quiet. You tayelis stuff and be more careful. Shmiras halashon. Be more careful. And you have to be careful. You're redufin, you're excited by this thing. And when you're excited, you're a fire. And you're right even what you're on fire. Who can be more right than being on fire to build a Mishkan? You're so right to be on fire. It's so good. That's the time you most have to take stock. See where you're at. See what you're doing. Did you ever see, Yisrael, have you ever seen somebody like helping? I've seen helpers of the public. A guy's like running an event. Oh my, that's like the most dangerous. You're being nice to you, and that guy's like on fire. He runs over like 50 people. Like he's running the thing. That's when you most have to be careful. That's when you most have to cheshbon. You're on fire. I've seen people running events, being in charge of security for whatever they're doing, like big zachen. Make sure you don't run over one person. It's nice you're a fire. What was your volva?
Did he have anything to say about those years that they attacked
Rabbi Yashin? Yeah, very good. You're right. But you know what I mean? You've seen this. I've seen this with people. I've seen this with people who had big tasks of security at a big event, and they just become so hyper-aggressive in doing an important thing. But where was your balance? That you're right, you had a big thing. Doesn't mean you could be mean to this person. I know you have a big thing. I know you're on fire. I know it's true. And that's the time you most have to like be present and balance and figure everything out. Just because big things are going. I felt this year a lot by COVID. By COVID, I saw aggressions come up. People said, there's life and death on the line. The stakes get higher, midas don't disappear. I know you're on fire. Doesn't mean you should be mean to anybody. I know you feel, I know even when life and death, and it's normal to be passionate, you still have to keep kol atar. Midas still apply. Other people's feelings still apply. It doesn't disappear when the stakes are high, when you're on fire. That's the most time that be conscious of all of Yiddishkeit. Try to be present. Don't go into a religious frenzy. Be excited and balanced, excited and thought out. Am I doing right? So this pasuk to me is so magical. I think Pashup Shat, I think it's magical because it's so relevant. I feel it. I can experience it. It's not trying to douse, to like limit anybody's enthusiasm. It's trying to direct it. And those are the times you most, when you're on, be on fire, you most have to make sure there's like a, you're on fire and this is my thing. The guy looks at his poor little kid. He has like a 6. You'll have things that are your thing and your 6-year-old doesn't get it. How many parents, I gave up everything for this. You're on fire is wonderful. Now balance life with your fire. Now figure, that's what I think is the pashup shot in this pasuk, the second pasuk. Makes sense? Hudi, makes sense? You've heard this from me before? It's good. I think it's emes tikkup shot. Yeah. My raya is the second time it speaks about your redufim, you're overwhelmed. What shaykhis? I almost feel guilty today. Asking Aryeh and Shlomo to sing is like Kalish, you grand manipulator. You speak, they sing, and are you mind singing? What's he supposed to say? No, I'm not singing. The only thing is, I wouldn't even ask. It would be like so silly to ask them to sing today after you describe that they sing. The only thing I say is, we're zeicha, we have a guest. There's a Ben Torah who we're zeicha. Many of us, Azaychna Shmuel Coates is here. You drove all the way, Shmuel. Shmuel, you drove from Baltimore. straight from Baltimore now. He drove from Baltimore, Shlomo. What? He drove from Baltimore. What do you hold, are you? So then it's different. Shmuel is somebody, he's a very, Baruch Hashem, I'm zeich to be close friends, Shlomo and Aryeh. Manny knows him, a very, very good chaver of Yo-Yo. I spoke to Yehuda Merwis today. I spoke to Yehuda Merwis from Houston today. So just a really inspiring Ben Tyra. Yeah. Shmuel, yeah. We were never zeicher to have Shmuel in yeshiva for long, but you were here for a couple of weeks after Pesach that year? Shabbos. So, are we getting you Shabbos? Shucks. Okay, we have you now. Come. You're mezak everybody in song today, Shmuel. I wouldn't be able to ask. But let him first get the recovery. You ready for a song? Run. How are you? The new Zush is the craze.
Balance of life.
I like this.
Okay, fine.